Why don't you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, where we'll end our time together in this study as the Christian soldier goes to battle. Now, if you remember, Paul the Apostle is here writing this book in Rome. He is in prison. He's chained, what many believe to be, next to a Roman guard. And it is the Holy Spirit playing upon and prompting Paul's heart now to pick up his pen and begin to write this treaty on Christian warfare. And as he glanced over at that soldier, he saw all of the battle attire there. He saw that soldier standing there with his helmet and with his breastplate and with his feet wrapped with those very special sandals and all of the battle attire. The Holy Spirit prompts upon Paul's heart, this is how the Christian is to live their life. The Christian is to be a soldier. And if we begin to live and move as a Christian without our armor on, we will be shot in our very vital areas and render us inoperable for the kingdom of God. And so tonight, we come to a very special portion of Scripture. We have looked at, from verse 10 all the way now to verse 17, what it takes to be a Christian in complete armor. And right now you guys are experts in all of the battle gear. You know exactly what a sword is. Last week we talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Machaira, that 18-inch killing dagger, actually, that the soldier would pull out. And when he was in close-quarter combat, he would look for that opportunity, and he would take that sword and pierce it through his enemy, knowing that if he bottomed it out against the flesh, he had certainly hit vitals. Well, translate that into the spiritual world. Last week, Paul was telling us that, man, if you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and use it, you will not fail. You'll be very successful in this walk, in this life. Now, number one, remember last week we talked about the rhema of the Word of God, the specific portion of the Word of God to fight versus the logos. And I want to say something right here, right now. This has been on my heart since we started this series. As a Christian, you will experience, and maybe you're here tonight, the majority of the church, they don't even want to talk about this kind of stuff. It's either negative to them, which is a deception from the enemy, or they don't want to talk about spiritual warfare because it scares them. I don't want to talk about boogeymen. I don't want to talk about principalities and powers and things that go bump in the night. And that's exactly what the enemy would want you to do, is to be fearful concerning this life that you're living in Christ. And then Satan's got people that have swung to the other end. And they are those who don't believe that this stuff's really real. Certainly the apostle is meaning something else. He doesn't really mean this. He doesn't mean that we wrestle against demonic activity. And the very fact of the matter is, that's exactly what he means. It's more real than this podium is. And if you haven't experienced it, then I don't know what is going on in your life. You're either not making a dent in the kingdom of God because you're not a dent in the kingdom of hell, because you're not walking with the Lord, or you're just maybe brand new to the faith, and that's okay, that's great. But the very fact of the matter is, we are physical beings now driven and propelled by the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us, and the moment that that takes place in our lives, we are at adversaries with the world. John tells us that the world system is the spirit of Antichrist. It is absolutely against us. And listen, you sit here tonight in a camp that either says, I don't believe this stuff. I mean, this sounds like Hollywood. Or you're so scared because you haven't come to the full revelation of the power and what Jesus Christ has done in your life and has equipped you to fight this warfare. And so my heart breaks. I'm serious. I am so concerned about this. I want people to catch this, to understand that when there's things in your home going on, when it's with your children or with your job or with your coworkers, things that are unexplainable, why is this going on? Why do I feel the way I do? So many times, it's spiritual. And you need to stop And I want you to know that I have grown over the last 6 weeks spiritually since we started this study. So much so that I'm really blessed to announce to you that yesterday I was coming home, whistling on the way home, singing songs, having a great time. Come up Peyton Drive, turn left to go down my street, and I felt like, all of a sudden, I felt so depressed. And I'm just going, ugh. You know that, like that little Ever-Ready or Duracell thing that's going, shh, it stops, you know? That's exactly as I came down my street, I began to feel like, but I didn't recognize it immediately, and I pulled into the driveway, got out, sat down, just kind of vegged. My wife and kids came flying in the front door moments after I came home, and I just felt this grossness. I just felt repulsed. And this is victory for me. All of a sudden, wait a minute. There's no reason for this. And we immediately prayed. We got the family together, we held hands, and we prayed. And the Lord had victory. We need to wake up. There are certain things in the Christian life. Number one, we will deny that this war even exists. Or we'll say, well, it surely has nothing to do with me. I mean, what would the enemy have to do with me? And we kind of push it off and saying that, well, I'm not going to get attacked. Watch out. And then there are situations that I think most of us are most prone to. I'm not worthy to get attacked. I mean, the enemy and all of his forces, they're out chasing Billy Graham and all these other guys. But let me tell you, the Bible says there are big numbers of these guys. And they'll harass you and they'll use people to do so and all kinds of other things. But listen to this. We're going to start at verse 10. We're going to read all the way down. We're going to stop where we're at tonight in this final section. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, where it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist about with truth, having put on your breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, that with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints," and Paul says, "and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel." This is preciousness to me. Paul begins with a warning, hey, finally. And he sandwiches between that call, that wake-up call, he sandwiches everything in between with prayer and with the wake-up call. Paul's saying, hey, man, wake up, finally, listen. And then he backs it up with prayer, and he squeezes it all together, and he finishes it off with this call to us to prayer. What is prayer? Immediately, our hearts begin, well, I know all about prayer. I know all about it. I mean, I just know. You know, when you have the steak and eggs there, you pray over it. And when you get the mashed potato, you pray. And you pray, you know, and you bow and you pray. And so many Christians, me included, have joined this club. You know, it's called the Bless Me Club. And we find ourselves so often, I mean, you listen to your own heart right now. We so often focus our prayer energies on, Lord, what have you done for me lately? Right? So often, Jesus, oh, I have this need. Oh, Jesus, I'm not feeling well. Jesus, my throat. But so often we begin to focus. Now, we should pray for ourselves. The Bible encourages us to pray for ourselves. We're to do that. There's nothing unspiritual about it. In fact, if you do not pray for yourself, something's wrong, because I need Jesus. I need to pray. But we need to wake up to this very fact. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is the most lofty thing that God can call a human being to. and he calls his kids to prayer. We either pray or we don't pray. When we do not pray, we suffer loss. You can study until the cows come home and go back out again, and without prayer, you will be nothing but a theologian. You'll be a student. You'll have all the academics of the Word of God that you can acquire, and that's as far as it will go. Unless you begin to pray, and what Paul is talking about here, man, after you've got all the armor, it's beautiful. Here's this Christian standing in all of his gear, and Paul comes up and he goes, "Touch!" And the soldiers are standing there, and Paul looks at them and, you know, thumps on their armor and shines up that sword, "Straighten up your, stick out your chest, soldier." And all the Christians are standing there, and Paul says, "Great, now get on your knees." Say, "What?" Get on your knees. The Christian is the only person in the universe that goes to battle on their knees. It's said of the apostles, I believe it's James, that when he died, they noticed it was recorded in church history that he had calluses on his knees from prayer. I don't know if that's true or not. It sounds good, though. But we need to be praying people. But if you're like me, man, tonight hopefully is a time to change things. If you're like me, Lord, okay, I'm going to set my alarm. I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray. Truly, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Man, that alarm goes off and what do? You know, you're slapping that thing around. And if you can't hit it, you know, you just unplug it. But you know why that happens, because we go to bed too late, right? But listen, we need to discipline ourselves. Oh, Jack, don't talk like that. Look, my heart breaks. Man, I want you guys to be so healthy spiritually. Begin to pray and to understand what prayer is all about. Man, it's getting before God and saying, "I love you." That's prayer. And what Paul is saying here, he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer, every kind of prayer, petition, supplication, intercession. Paul's calling us to prayer. Man, when we pray, study the Old Testament prayers. Who is it you're going before? God of the universe, Holy Lord, God, Savior, Jesus. Get in perspective what's going on first. Praise Him when you come into His presence. And realize this. Get your pen ready. I've told you this before, but this is God's phone number. God's phone number has no area code because it's everywhere, but it's Jeremiah 33:3. The precious phone number of God. He says, "Hey, call me up. Call me up, and I'll be there. I'm listening. I'll hear everything you say. Just call me up." God, it calls us. He encourages us. Ring me. Call me. It is fellowship with God. As we get into prayer, we will more clearly see this battle that we're to fight. Outside of prayer, you are nothing but a magnificently clothed soldier. But until you get fuel in your tank via prayer, you're good for nothing. And that's why Paul ends this portion of this Christian in complete armor with prayer, because prayer is communion. It is that plug that goes into our God that gives us strength and energy to war this fight. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, if you look in your Bibles, that's capital S. That is the Holy Spirit. Many of us talk about praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit or in your prayer language. That is not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about being governed and being empowered and having your prayers prompted by the Holy Spirit. When we pray to Him, we get upon our knees or we're driving down the road, whatever your case may be, and you just say, "Lord, man, I just lay my heart out and I ask you to lead me in this time of prayer." And as you begin to wait upon the Lord, prayer is two ways, people, at least that. As you begin to wait upon Him, God will begin to prompt your heart with, I don't even know what to call them. I don't like to call them thoughts because that sounds like it's kind of somewhere in between. And you know what I'm talking about. It's something in your heart, yet it's something in your mind, and God will say a string of words or a person's name or a situation will come into your mind, and the Spirit of God will direct your prayer. Paul is saying, pray always like that. Well, how do you do that? Ephesians 5:18 says that we are to really not be drunk with wine. It's going to leak out, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit daily, you'll be able to pray in the Spirit. You'll be able to walk in the Spirit. You'll begin to live and breathe in the Holy Spirit of God. Everything you do will be governed by God. Your occupation, your home, your schoolwork, all the things that you're doing is empowered by Him. Allowing the Holy Spirit to prompt you. And the Holy Spirit has a wonderful thing going. He takes your prayers and He wraps them up and presents them to the Father according to His will if you're walking in the Spirit. If you are praying and you are not in the will of God, if you are not in the Spirit, the Bible warns us. James tells us that we're going to pray amiss. We're going to pray off course. We're going to pray skewed. We won't make it. Why? Because when we're outside the Spirit of God, we will try to acquire things through prayer. Lord, bless me with this one. God, give me this, and God, give me that. It's an interesting thing. I'm reading a book right now. I haven't touched it in like a week. It's a wonderful book, though, by Ian Murray on The Fight of Faith. It's the life of D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And it's like that big. It's going to take me a couple millenniums to read it. But already I've been so blessed. Do you know what happened when the war broke out, when Germany, Hitler was taking over the world? Everybody in England, they were just bipping along, having a good time. And the insane asylums were packed with people. And the mental hospitals were going crazy. No pun intended. I didn't mean that. But everything was just business as usual. And do you know what happened? Hitler got closer and closer and closer. And do you know what happened? All of a sudden, the hospitals, the mental hospitals, got less populated. Isn't that weird? And you know what they wrote? They found out that when people, the loonies in there, who weren't really loonies at all, realized that when the bombs were getting near and they heard news that grandma's house was bombed and Uncle Bill's farm was halfway destroyed, they got concerned. And they got filled with care and concern about their relatives and about loved ones. And they left the loony houses and they ran back to see if everybody was okay. And they wound up, many of them, helping out. Well, do you know what happened? Martin Lloyd-Jones says the amazing thing is this. These people sat in those places and they went, all they could think about is themselves. Me, myself, and I were all messed up. I'm not giving myself enough money and I don't have enough comfort. And what about me and this and that and the other thing? And they, boom. All of this stuff, self-centeredness. But when the war broke out, it caused them to look at their neighbors and their friends, and they got normal all of a sudden. They ran back out into the world and began to help people out, all because they got their eyes off themselves. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, isn't that a trip? They weren't nuts at all. They just had their eyeballs focused inward. And prayer causes you to get before your God and just really transcend all of the things that limit us and fight that fight in the Spirit. Walk that life in the Spirit. It's a very, very powerful thing. It's a blessed thing. And we know this. But there's no one in this room tonight that has arrived in their prayer life. All of us are lacking in our prayer life. Every one of us. And if you think you're cool, then you're way off from arriving in your prayer life. We all fail. Man, we need to pray. But we need to understand this. If God has taken the time to equip you so wonderfully, He hasn't made prayer impossible. In prayer, the prayer that we are to pray is easy. Then why are we having a struggle? Because our flesh wars against the Spirit. Man, as we bow our hearts before Him, God is more than willing to answer your prayer, but you get tired. And I get tired. And the first thing that comes into our lives, man, that's negative, if we pray for somebody for 2 weeks and they're not saved, we give up. We back off. Why? Jesus said, man, men ought always to pray, not to faint. We need to pray. God will cause us to pray. He'll empower us to pray. I am not talking about spending hours in prayer, though we all need that. I'm forgetting who this certain person was, like Wesley or somebody, or Luther. Might have been Luther. But he said the more days of busy activity that he had on schedule, the more time he'd spend in prayer on those days. You and I are the opposite. We go, man, my schedule's booked. Catch you later, God. And we book. We run. And Luther says, man, there's no way. I mean, I got so much to do today, I've got to spend a lot of time in prayer. It blows my mind. But it's a blessed thing. But Paul says here, man, listen, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, being watchful. He begins to warn us that this battle that we're in, it's going to take diligence. It's going to take an alertness to know how to pray. We need to be persevering. Remember the wicked judge in the Bible and the little widow who goes and knocks and pleads and cries and calls to this guy. Finally, she gets her answer. She was persistent. She pushed and pushed and pushed until the wicked judge said, all right, here, get out of my sight. Jesus says, man, persevere, because how much more will your heavenly Father, who loves you, give you these things? He wants to bless you. And so being watchful literally means being on the alert. You've got your garb on for war. You're on your knees in prayer, and you got your antenna up. You're listening. You're waiting. For what? The Holy Spirit to say, okay, stand up. We're going to go ahead now. There's a war coming. How many of you, and I've heard you say this privately, I just sense something in my heart. I don't know what it is, but I really sense something I've heard you guys say before in passing or in private or whatever. You're walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God begins to tip you off to something, and you begin to pray. Man, that's being watchful. Paul says, now that you're clothed, be watchful. This word supplication really means, really, going before the Lord with earnestness, with commitment to Him, knowing that He's going to answer you, going before Him and just bridging the gap. Oh, Lord, going before God specifically with needs, petition, intercessory prayer. We are all called to do that. Paul the Apostle tells us in other portions of Scripture that we need to be praying always, all the time. This breaks my heart, what this next thought brings to my mind. It's in prayer as we wait upon the Spirit of God. It's in prayer that God will begin to unlock to you the Bible. And I have to say this. There are people who have fellowshipped in this place with us on these nights who have let you teach the Word of God to them solely. Or they've come and they've listened to the Word here on Sundays or wherever, and they've never searched the Word out for themselves. They've always had somebody teach it to them, like a little baby. Here's your spoon. Here, open your mouth. And they've never searched to find out that these things are true for themselves. And what really tears my heart out is there's just been some false stuff floating around, and this person, because doesn't know anything for themselves, man, they just go right after this garbage. Hey, see you guys on Sundays. See you on Wednesdays. I'm going after this thing. And that's where it is. I think the Bible says that this is right. And they just go head first. And you know what? They've never studied the Word for themselves. And you may sit here tonight and say, well, gosh, I mean, I'm not really into study. You need to be. How do I do that? Pray. Open up your Bible. You don't have to buy volumes of books. Open up your Bible and say, Lord, I want to be watchful. I want to be ready. Speak to me, Holy Spirit, from your Word. And let Him speak to you. Man, I tell you, working these two jobs has just about wiped me out, has just about destroyed me. And I praise God. Let me tell you, I can't take it anymore. I've come to the end of my rope. And I just can't take it anymore. The pressures of work pulling and the church and my family. And I want to tell you, 5 months ago, the board of Calvary Chapel here came to me and they said, man, we want you to go full time. And I said, nah, I don't know. We'll talk about this some other day. And I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And I was at a wedding a couple of weeks ago. My wife and I were talking to a friend of ours who we hadn't seen in a while. She goes, "Do you remember Mark Galvin?" She said to me, and I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Well, he's pastoring now up at Calvary Chapel of Lompoc." Is it Lompoc or Lompoc? Lompoc, right on the coast there. And I said, "Well, that's really fantastic." And she goes, "Well, yeah." She had no idea that we were involved in a fellowship. And she goes, "Yeah, but you know, it's really interesting." She said, they started out in a little home fellowship, and the thing grew, and they wanted to become a church, and Mark was teaching, and they came and said, "Be our pastor." He said, "No, no, no." "And be our pastor." "No, no, no." And he fought them, and he was in construction up there and just working away, and then they said, "Let's meet on Sunday mornings." "No, no, no." And they wound up doing it, and he kept working and working, you know, and he got so much pressure from the church to go full-time, he couldn't take it anymore, and he's just kind of balancing both worlds on the end of his finger. And the people began to pray, and he got deathly sick, and he was wiped out, and he lost his job. And the church goes, "Yeah!" And they were so fired up when he lost his job. They were so excited when they heard he got sick because they knew God was working. I respect his mindset. I see where he's at. But for 5 months, I've told the board, "Back off, leave me alone. Nah, I can do it." And I told Pastor Chuck recently, I said, "I really have derived a lot of pride out of juggling both worlds." And he laughed and he goes, "I know what you mean." Because he worked, you know, for 17 years. And, you know, he said, "You got to seek the Lord because you got to think about, you know, going head first or getting out, you know." And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And the Lord spoke on a Wednesday morning, real clear to my heart. But I want you to know that, you know, it's amazing how good God is, because I was coming to the end of my rope. My family was coming to the end of their rope. And you guys, in a way, so many of you have come up to me and they said, "This place is nuts. There's no organization. You don't know what he's going over there. And I thought we had this white form and now it's blue." And you know what? I agree with you 1,000%. And, you know, going before the Lord and lifting this stuff up, you know, you feel, "Hey, God, man, I'm doing the best I can, man." And the Lord spoke to me, though, and he said, "You got to go full time." And so the neat thing about that is this. The board got together, and I wasn't there. I didn't want to be there. And they did their thing, and they did all their work, and they called me up a couple Sundays ago, and late, it was about 10:20 at night, and got a phone call. And it was really neat, because the Lord had given me the go-ahead earlier. But they called and said, "This is the deal." And I said, "I don't even need to know the details." Yes, and praise the Lord. And that was Sunday night, and I got up Monday, typed up my resignation at work, and handed it to them. "Shut the door. Come here. Sit down. Shut the door." Shut the door. They offer me more money. I said, "You know, money has nothing to do with it." What's the matter? "Haven't you liked it here?" I said, "You know, I've loved it here. Almost 11 years, going on 11 years, I loved it here. You know that. But there's something else going on. And you know what it is." And they knew, and I reminded them. But the fact of the matter is, man, I tell you guys have put up with so much stuff from me. Lack of organization. Just, "Jack, can I talk to you?" "No." "Jack, come on out." "Jack, you know." And it's just about killed me. And talking with my wife recently, it's just about killed my home too. And that breaks my heart. Because the Bible commands that you have to have your home in order before you can play with the church. And that certainly was true at the start. But as time, especially these last 4 months, have just killed us. And we sat down and we rejoiced to realize that God's timing is perfect, because we couldn't stand another month. And so starting May 19th, I'll be here full time. Yeah, and you can call me up and bug me. Now, what we have to do is get all of those. There's been like hundreds of people that have come here since we've gone to Sundays and have gone, they left. Now we got to get them back. You know, "Hey, come back. back. Maybe he'll get better now that he's full time. Maybe I can understand him. But I told you this a couple weeks ago. Man, this series is such an awesome, wonderful series. And I told you that I'd love to do this series again when I'd have more time to focus on it. And I look forward to that. Should the Lord tarry in his coming, we need to dive into these things, these truths again. I have gotten a lot of good from this study. It's blessed my heart at this time of my life. All that came about by my note saying, the hearing of him. Stubborn, and if you're like a donkey, like I am, you know, God sometimes has to bring you to the end of your rope. Like with Mark Galvin, he's got to get him deathly ill before he can get him where he wants him. And with me, he just has to wear me down until I'm coming apart at the seams. You don't need to be like me. You just listen to him. He'll speak through your, through the word into your heart through prayer. Please, people, if you leave tonight forgetting everything, don't forget this. Prayer is much easier than you think. Man, when you're driving down the freeway tomorrow, when you're washing those dishes or at that desk, when you just begin to think a thought towards God, Lord, I wonder what my kids are doing. That's prayer. I love you, Lord. Oh, yeah. I'm a Christian. That blesses my heart more than anything. I'm working away at work, and it'll dawn on me. I'm a Christian. Right. I'll be in there working. I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm serious. I do that all the time. Seriously, probably once a day. I'm not kidding. I'll be working along, and everything is nothing to me. And check a call. Hello? Who's this? Oh, Chuck. You know, can't talk now. Every time he calls me at work, he goes, I know you're really busy. But I go, I gotta go. Poor guy. But, oh, yeah. Oh, I'm a Christian. That's prayer. That's praise. That's worship. It says pray always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray always. Pray without ceasing. Don't ever stop. Charles Spurgeon says, never, never, never stop. Spurgeon says, man, don't ever stop praying. When the gates of heaven seem like iron blocks upon your head, keep praying. If your heart is cold, pray it into the heat. I like that. When you feel indifferent and too callous to pray, pray on, Spurgeon says. Never stop. I don't feel like praying. Say it. Lord, I don't feel like praying. Help me. And then go on your way. You've just prayed a prayer. And God begins to work. What about when you're sick? For me, and I'm sure Ed can relate, and others of you, Ashton, others, when you're sick and when you're hurting and you're in bed and there's nothing seems to be fitting right, man, I don't know about all this stuff. I tell you what, after I suffer long enough, God begins to mold me. And I tell you, I'm not a masochist or anything, but I've begun to kind of enjoy, once I'm into the suffering with my physical situation, I begin to enjoy the closeness that it brings me to the Lord. There's something about it. There's a preciousness that money can't buy and that good times can't give you. Some of you don't understand what I'm talking about. But in Philippians 3:10, Paul the Apostle says, man, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And you read that and you go, this has got to be a misprint. I'm here to tell you it is wonderfully, powerfully truth in the Scripture of God. Don't ever despise it. God is with you. Man, when you're hurting, he's with you. Jesus is listening all the time. And when you think he's not listening, listen to this. I love this. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and with fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Isn't that precious? I wish I would have wrote that. David wrote that, and I stole it out of Spurgeon's morning devotional book. That's Psalm 63, 5 and 6. Isn't it precious? When I go to bed at night, I'm going to wait upon you, he says. Praying always is an attitude of prayer. It's a decision we make. Isaiah 50, verse 4 says, He awakeneth me morning by morning. He awaketh mine ear to hear as the learned. God is calling us. Man, get up. Make a date with Jesus tomorrow. Make a date with Jesus this week. We have got to get into our devotionals. Some of you are saying, I have a devotion every morning. Some of you are saying, what's a devotion? I think I had one with my breakfast this morning or something. I don't know. Getting with the Lord is your devotion. Some of you need to start devotions now. Some of us need to get our devotions back in trim again. Some of us are just doing blessed with our devotions. That is such a precious thing. Don't despise those things. If it's just a verse, get a cup of coffee. Sit down with Jesus. Pull the chair out. Sit down. Act it out. You think I'm crazy. Act it out. I love acting things out with the Lord. I love doing that. I love praying towards the east. Now, don't tell anybody. It's in Israel, they pray towards the east, towards Jerusalem. I don't know. I'm kind of Jewish in heart. I like to pray facing east. My wife goes, how do you always know which way? How do you know which way is east and west? Well, let me see. If I was going to pray right now, I'd pray to the east. Oh, well, that's north because that's east. I do. And I'm working right now. There's a little Jewish girl at my work. Before I leave, I want her to get me a prayer shawl. And she's got a couple, and I want to get this thing from her. And it's what they use in Israel, and they put it over their heads and they pray. And you're going, man, you're a religious nut. No, you know what it is? I do this privately, by the way, so none of you are to know this. I just love that. I don't know, man. I just think about it. I make a date with Jesus, and especially in the wintertime with a fire going and a coffee, my devotion with Jesus. Jesus, have a seat. Nice fire, isn't it? I act it out. Well, you know, you're crazy. I'm enjoying myself. It's good. Don't get too hard on me because Ezekiel made little army men and laid in the dirt. He did, you know. He laid in the dirt and played with army, and then Israel, this is what's going to happen to you. He did. Read your Bible. Very graphic. I like to be graphic in my prayer life to the Lord. I love that. It's me and Him. And it's precious. And I enjoy it. What happens if you are in a place right now where your prayers are not being heard? You're probably praying right now, when is He going to get done? It's 9 o'clock. Real quick. You might want to write these down. I say them every so often, because they're very, very important in my life. What do you do when your prayers aren't getting heard? Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. I'll read them to you. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that He cannot save you, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear you. But your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not listen. Heavy verse, isn't it? I have circled in my Bible, your God, in that portion of Scripture, because He's my God when I'm sinning or not. That's the key. And then this, Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayers. Hey, you know how long it takes to fix that problem? A second, just a second, and you're cleansed. So Paul the Apostle, in closing, says this, after all the battle gear is put on, you pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. Get your eyes off yourself. Pray for others. You'll be amazed how much longer you'll spend in prayer time, and you'll be amazed how much life your prayer life begins to have as you begin to intercede for others. And then Paul, I love what he says here, and you ought to put your initials next to verse 19, and pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. I ask you this, and it's fitting that we end here tonight. As I go full time, I would like you to mark this in your Bible, verse 19, for me, and just say, man, I'm going to pray for Jack. Pray for Jack that he'd have boldness, that he would be able to proclaim the word of God, that he would be able to open up the word of truth. I'm so excited about this new life God's called us into. I've never been more scared in all my life, and I've never had more peace in all my life. It's a paradox. It's weird. It's wonderful. And I tell you, Lisa and I, there's just so much peace. It's mind-boggling. It's great. Let's pray. Father, we just commit, Lord, these truths to your manipulation, to your power, to your infusion into our lives. God, we ask you that you'd bring these things into us. Lord, I just pray right now, Father, that you would take, Lord Jesus, the inadequacies, Father, of this speaker, and Lord, that you would take the verses and the truth of your word into the hearts of all of us tonight. And God, may we wake up to the war. And may we realize that Jesus has gone before us into battle and that the victory is ours. And you have done a most wonderful, wonderful work for us. In Jesus' name we praise you, Lord. Amen.